Ohio Beers helps people find their motivation, especially after they've been through hard or difficult life challenges. Listen to his story and learn some ways you can start flying, especially after something hard, today on the Be Do Concept Podcast. Hi, I'm Lindy Kirby, mother of seven, speaker, singer-songwriter, mentor, author, podcaster, and the founder and developer of the Be Do Concept. And you're listening to the Be Do Concept Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This is episode number 19 on the podcast, where I help people learn the different be and do ways of thinking that can help people in understanding each other and being able to get through the hard things in life. Today, I have Kyle Beers with me. He is a professional speaker and helps professionals and individuals recognize what it takes to be committed and an engaged participant at work, in relationships, and with yourself. Having gone through some traumatic experiences, he is here to help you find your phoenix or some great ways to get through life's hardest challenges. He'll be sharing some great tips about how to get back into being your best self, especially after those hard challenges that come. Kyle, thanks so much for being here. Please, why don't you share with us just a little bit about you and what you're doing in the world?
Yeah, I am a proud father of three little girls, and we just got done with spring break and had them the whole time. So it was a wonderful, fun adventure. And then just as far as a business thing, I'm working on writing a book called Find Your Phoenix, The Seven Feathers to Finding the Fire Inside You Again, or Reigniting the Fire Inside You Again. So as I have gone through some different traumatic experiences, as we all do, because we're all human, I have found that there's seven different tools, or I call them feathers, that we can use to live our life full out, to play big, to find that fire inside of us again. Because when we go through a traumatic experience, a divorce, loss of a loved one, loss of a job, expectations aren't fulfilled the way that we thought they would be, it's easy to just shrivel up or isolate or think that it's only bad things happen to you. And that's not true. We just know it's not, but that's easy to say when you're on the outside. So when we get stuck in our head, sometimes we need a reminder that just because it was our past doesn't mean it's our reality or our future.
I love that. I love Kyle because he has a good balance of both be and do thinking. We were kind of going through the test and we figured out he's a good balance of both. He uses both being tools and doing tools. Kyle, do you want to just tell us a little bit about the yuck that you've been through and how it's taught you all these things? How did you learn all these different tools that can help you get unstuck?
Yeah, I'm not the only child, but I'm the only boy. I'm the oldest of three. And that had some really fun moments and had some really challenges for me, because I sometimes felt like an only child, because my sisters could get along, were happy, my parents were happy, and I was like, what do I do? I'm just alone. I'm the loner here. So when I was about 12 or 13, I had the most snaggly tooth smile, and luckily got some orthodontia and got that straightened out. But going through that three-year process for me, it's like, wow, I want to do that. I want to make people smile and like have this new lease on life. And so I started to change my attitude or behavior about school a little bit. I was a good student and just didn't care. And then ninth grade came along. And even though counselors are like, I don't know, Kyle, you want to be a dentist? You have to get into a good school. I was like, watch me. So I became a straight A student, graduated, had scholarship offers to every school in Utah, and chose BYU because that's the school I wanted to go to. And that was all fine and dandy. I did serve an LDS mission in Oregon and had a beautiful, wonderful experience there, meeting a wide diversity of people, straight, gay, white, black, Russian, spoke English, didn't speak English, hated God, loved God. There, anybody and everybody, I got to meet them. And
where did you serve? Where was your mission at?
Oregon.
Oh, okay.
And one of our main goals as missionaries was to talk to everyone. We called it open your mouth. And so that's what we did. It was fun because I got to talk to all kinds of people. That's a little bit of a sidetrack. So when I got back to school, it was like, oh yeah, this is like home. Like there's not that much diversity, whatever. It's fine. But that had its own challenges because I still didn't feel like I fit in, which was weird because I fit in by any metric you could follow. I was straight, white, LDS kid at an LDS private college. Like I fit the mold. But I didn't have a lot of friends. Socially, I didn't fit in. I didn't feel like. And by the time I applied to dental school, I didn't get in. I didn't have good enough grades. And that happened while I had gotten married. We were expecting our first child. And I was like, okay, what do I do? Do I go to another year of school or do I graduate? And my dream was to go to school, to become a dentist and to help all these teenagers smile and have a new outlook on life. And for whatever reason, between all of our conversations, I was like, fine, I'll put my dream on the shelf and I'll graduate. I'll go get a job.
So because she wanted you to graduate and be done with school. Is that why?
She never said that. But from what I've reflected on, her parents had gotten divorced when she was a teenager. So when we were having this conversation of, I want to become a doctor, I want to chase this. And she's like, fine, it's your story or it's your choice. That's not all she was saying in her voice or in her soul. She was saying, yeah, it's your choice, but don't leave me hanging. And so I took that it's your choice as, well, okay, I'll just go provide.
So trying to make her happy is kind of what I'm hearing.
Trying to be a good husband, trying to do all the right things. But that's where the next part of the story became a kicker. So I did graduate. I got a good job and we were able to buy a house. We were able to have a car. She
was that in the dentist area or no, what kind of job?
A health inspector. I inspected restaurants. Oh. An environmental health scientist.
Was that something you wanted to do?
No.
Oh, cheers.
So we had had our second daughter and I had been working at the health department for 3 years at this point. I was getting really stressed and I couldn't pinpoint why or how, or just this huge storm was in my soul. Some would call it depression. Some would call it whatever else. There wasn't an answer for it. And I didn't know how to solve it. And I kept trying to solve it. I kept trying to figure out what's the answer. I'm holding on to this comfort zone of, I have this job. Like, everything's on paper good, but it's not right. And why is it not right? And I was mowing the lawn this one day. It's a nice, warm, sunny day. So I was just jamming to music and mowing the lawn. And I thought I saw a dog out of the corner of my eye. I hadn't. I was just stressed. Like, that's how stressed I was. A few minutes later, my wife tapped me on the shoulder. And I turned around. Fists clenched.
Wow.
The words might come out of my mouth. Fist clenched because I was sure it was that dog, right? Turned around, and as I was turning around, realized it was her as I was cocking to punch this dog and realized, oh, that's her. That's my wife. Let's not punch her. So I am so sorry.
She's did, like, you actually punch her?
No, I didn't.
Oh, just so almost did.
It was way too close for comfort. Dropped my hands. I was like, hon, I am so sorry. Gave her a hug. I'm like, what do you need? And she's like, I was just letting you know that dinner's ready. Like, are you okay? And the answer is no. Spent the next hour hyperventilating, just like all of the stress was coming out. in tears and just trying to breathe. And okay, I need to go see a counselor. We need to get this fixed. After seeing a counselor and a couple months later, I felt like divorce was the answer, which wasn't the answer I wanted. That was an unknown path that looked very scary and dangerous. But my comfort zone was potentially super abusive or suicide, right? So like,
you felt like you were going to kill yourself over your situation?
Yeah. Wow. It was definitely the ashes of my life. And I didn't want to go down this unknown path. I didn't want to make a leap of faith into this unknown. So I had this moment where divorce felt like the right answer, which felt very ironic because I was going to a temple to get an answer. And the temple is all about families are forever, for eternity, for all time. And I'm like, but I now have all this peace and this light. And like, I'm really confused now. And I've got to talk to my wife because she's my confidant and my blessing. And I want to have this conversation with her. Like, what, how do I fix this pain inside? And like, and if this is the answer, I don't understand it because I don't want that. Word to the wise, don't have that conversation with your wife first. You will sleep on the couch at best. Luckily, I got to sleep on the couch that night.
Was she not noticing anything was wrong, or was, did it come out of the blue?
She knew I was going through a lot. She was going through her own battles. We just had a little girl within the last year. So there's probably some postpartum depression. There was just adjusting to having a second daughter. We kind of needed a second car. There's just a lot of up in the air because we weren't making decisions. That's ultimately how you get through the sticky stuff, is you make decisions. And it took us going to a marriage counselor to resolve some of that, to make some decisions, to get her mom out of the way a little bit. Nice lady, just different personality than mine. Didn't get along with her, but also felt like she was holding on to her mom in a weird way, which she kind of wasn't. But eventually we found out that my wife was going through her own turmoil, which led to the divorce, actually, a few years later. She was fighting, struggling, going through her own, am I actually straight or am I gay? She's come out as gay since then. And I could have been really mean. I could have been very rude. I could have just kicked her out of the house. Some would argue that I should have. Some understand that the way that I wanted to act is, or the way that I'm choosing to do this, is out of love. Regardless of what her choices are, or regardless of what my choices are, there was a time and a place where we decided that we were going to be together forever. And I can still hold on to treating that person with that same type of respect, even if we're not in that relationship at all anymore.
I love that. I love that. So you've been able to keep a good relationship since then?
Yeah, we're fairly amicable. There's challenges with, there's no connection between you two other than your kids. And your kids are going, wait, mom does this. I'm not your mom, but your mom's a totally different person. So I can't even tell you what mom's doing other than mom's doing what mom's doing. It's an interesting dynamic. And I felt like I could hate her and hate that experience, or I could embrace it and try to love it, get curious as possible, as well as setting boundaries. Like, and some of those boundaries have been set by her. Some of them has been set by me.
And I love what you said, that it is a choice of choosing to be angry and to hate and to be upset at a person, but you chose to not go there and to decide to be kind, at least, and amicable going forward, which I'm sure that's made a difference in your life going forward and for your kids. Do you want maybe just tell us a little bit about how you're able to do that and how it's worked for you.
It's a miracle.
I don't love know. It. No, the only way I've been able to do that is miraculously. Yeah. So I'd love to hear that.
So I think part of it started when I had that experience where, you know, divorce is the answer. That came in 2016, 2017. And I stayed in the marriage for another four and a half years. I think 5 years till it actually finalized. I went in the closet for her. That's had its own little ramifications of my own. I'm not worthy. I'm not enough. This is really hard. I'm alone. And that was really hard. Hard because I love her. As her husband, as her friend, I have loved her since I've known her. I've always wanted the best for her. And in some ways, I provided a safe place for her to become a better version of herself. Now, that version of herself looks very different than the version I thought it was going to look like, and that's been very hard. But I'm also grateful for this experience that I've had with her, as hard as it's been for me on an emotional level or financially. Being able to live with someone that's going through that transition and be their confidant taught me how human these experiences are. That it's not just one person. It's not just two people in a marriage. It's every human's going through this. Not necessarily going through life transition from straight to gay or something that drastic, but we're all constantly going through transitions and changes. And we just celebrated Easter yesterday. And the beauty of that experience to me is it reinforced that God loves us. And that, as I've gone through the healing process of the divorce, I've had to go make my own new world again. And that's challenging. It takes courage. It takes having a noble pursuits. It takes having hobbies and friends and changing your mindset and getting curious, experimenting, exploring. And in one of my explorations, I took a trip to Monterey, California and did some fun things, one of which included going to the aquarium. I love aquariums. I love learning about ocean creatures. They're really fascinating to me, whether it's an orca or a dolphin or sea stars, starfish, like some of the most bizarre looking creatures in the world live in the ocean, and I never want to meet them, but I also want to learn all I can about them, right? And I'd been thinking about Brené Brown's Atlas of the Heart anyway, but I walked over to this one little exhibit and had these shrimp that were super microscopic, almost microscopic. They're super small. And as I looked at them, I had this sense of awe that, like, these little shrimp were created to eat this bacteria or this phytoplankton so that there could be air and food for these other animals. And like, it just expanded into like, this whole earth was created so you could be here and explore and see these little creatures. Like, you're worthy and enough, Kyle. Like, this is all for you. So whether you want to call that quantum physics or God's love or somewhere in between there, like, it was just felt connected to everything in that moment. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm always worthy and enough in God's eyes. Like, I'm one of his creations. He loves me and he loves her and he loves you. Like, how cool is that? And that was the doing to get through that icky stuff to make decisions.
Well, and I love what you said, because all of that, aha, that is be thinking. It is recognizing who you are and your worth. And once you know that, once you know who you are and your value, that helps you to do, right? It helps you to keep moving forward and to feel like you're worthy of life and goodness and joy.
Yeah. As a missionary, we're always talking to people, like I said, to share that message that, you know, God loves you. Like Jesus Christ is the Savior. He went through the atonement for you. And it's not that I forgot that, but as you go through traumatic experiences, whether it's ego or perspective change, it just, all of that kind of goes away in a box. And you're like, what now? Like, why me? Like, how is this okay? Like, what's the learning experience? If you finally get to that point, maybe, hopefully. But then when you do reconnect with that, it's like, oh yeah, it's gonna work out. Like, God loves me. Like, this is real. God's holding me in his hands. This is okay. Like,
Kyle, and I love that, because I really do believe that we go through hard things in our life to become the person that we are meant to be. And some of those experiences, I mean, we wouldn't learn them unless we had gone through that specific experience, right? I mean,
yeah,
you
I wouldn't
probably wouldn't have
understand
ever, yeah, go ahead.
How I wouldn't understand how fully or have a strong of a conviction that God loves everyone. Like, I've known that. I've been taught that for since the time I could breathe, since I was born. You're a child of God. God loves you. That's what I've been taught. But now I know it at a more core level, that like, that's why I care about respecting people. That's why I like being honest. That's why I'm okay taking some courage and fighting through some of the self-inflicted, like, no, you can't do that. You're a little boy from a little town in Utah. Like, so what? Like, your message is unique and can be shared to a lot of other people that need that message, because they're loved too and they can't see it yet.
Oh my gosh, I love that. And Kyle, you do have a great message, and you're sharing it out there. You want to tell us just a little bit about how you share your message and how we can find you too?
Yeah. Primarily I'm on Instagram right now. The Kyle Beers. Some other Kyle Beers stole plain old Kyle Beers, so I get to be the Kyle Beers. I'm working on a website, and I have a Thursday thought that I share every week.
That's on Facebook, right? Or do you do that on Instagram?
Facebook. Thank you, Metaverse. Thank you, Mark Zuckerberg. And then I just do daily check-ins in the morning. So like yesterday's was, I got up before anybody else. The sun hadn't even come up. I was like, that's perfect. Like, let's talk about Easter while the sun's coming up. Today's was just, hey, it's busy. It's a new week. Hooray. Like, have a fun day.
So I just have to ask one more question, because this is quite a big transition from where you started to feeling like I have no value at all. And to all of a sudden you're confident, you're sharing messages, you're out there sharing hope. What would you say was the biggest factor that gave you that confidence? Was it just that experience of the aha, or was there anything else that you could pinpoint?
It's always just one experience, right?
Right.
No, it's a combination of a lot of experiences. Fantastic friends like you that have been supportive, have become part of my support system. One of our mutual friends, I was talking to while I was going through this divorce part, and her name's Cheryl. I was actually on
Love
her
Cheryl.
Podcast as well. We were talking, and she's like, you know, the divorce just got finalized. How do you feel? And before the divorce had finalized, I was like, I'm ready to go date. Like, I just want to be loved by somebody else. Like, let's get to this. And then the divorce happened. I was like, what? And so that's why we were having this conversation. So Cheryl's like, so how do you feel? And I'm like, I feel like a bird in a cage with the door wide open and I don't want to leave. She's like, so let's explore this. And we talked about it. I'm like, I think I just need to fly. And she's like, okay, elaborate. Like, I know how to fly. I just forgot how to, because I've been in this cage or in the closet with my now ex for 4 years. Like, I've got to go fly, like, or soar. Like, that's what I want to do, is let's be this new person.
So what does flying mean to you?
Yeah. So we were in talking about that, or around talking about that, I saw this phrase that was like, love yourself first. It's like, I can flip those around. Like, first love yourself. Like, that's what fly is. Whether you're in the cage with the door wide open or you're out flying in the sky.
So it's an acronym, FLY, fully love yourself. Oh, yeah. I love that. I love that.
So awe is an acronym, as much as it's also the emotional experience of always worthy and enough.
Wait, and say that again. Always
worthy and enough.
So AWE, awe acronym. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I love
FLY
that.
FLY is first love yourself. And when we do both of those, when we recognize who we want to be and put the action into being who we want to be, then that's when love starts to grow inside of us. And then we can lift others valiantly evermore.
Oh, Kyle, I love that, because I actually see that just a slight different. Flying, fully loving yourself, is doing and being, right? You're doing the things that help you to feel loved, but you're also allowing yourself to fly, doing those things as well. And then the awe is always worthy and enough. That's knowing who you are and valuing yourself. And so that's kind of that being side. And so that's where I think you put those together. It's so, so powerful. I love that.
And flying takes courage. It takes courage to jump out of a plane and hope that the parachute pulls, right? I've not done that yet, but it's on the bucket list, I think. I think, because that still sounds really scary. Why would I jump out of a perfectly good flying vessel?
Not something I want to do.
the awe comes from that mindset shift, the noble pursuits. It comes from, okay, I wanted to be this great husband. I wanted to be forever with this person. I don't have that option anymore, because our lives took very different paths. Maybe she comes back someday, and maybe she doesn't. Probably not at this point. Like, let's just be honest. But
right.
Okay, so I need to change my mindset on this. Like, so what do I need? Who does Kyle Beers need to become? Let's think about this. Like, that's the becoming part. Like, what goals do I now have? Just before we went on here, I was on a different interview, and they're like, what are your 3 to 5 year goals? And I'm like, great question. Like,
yeah, you got to know that, right?
Sometimes that's still really hard for me, because I was in this constant back and forth of, when is she going to ask for divorce, or is this actually going to work? Like, that's a really hard spot to be in, loving somebody well knowing that it's hurting one or both of you. Okay, so I want to be in a loving relationship where I know she loves me and she knows I love her. Like, great. So now there's these things that I need to do. Like, okay, if I love golf, am I going to have that be a hobby that's more important than anything else?
What did you say, golf? I wasn't sure what
golf.
You said.
Yeah, okay. Golf. Like, so maybe that's my hobby, or maybe that's a thing. And maybe I need to pour some of that in, some extra of that in, because spring just came to Utah and I haven't golfed for a long time. So, like, spend a little time doing that, but like, don't have that be so much of the focus that I don't date anybody either.
Right. It's got to be that mix of doing the things that you love, but making sure you're doing the things that are going to lead you to what you want and the life that you want as well.
Yeah. And so first loving yourself or flying is really liberating in some ways, but you have to check yourself, because if not, it becomes very egocentric and then it doesn't work very good.
Yes.
And that's where awe is helpful, because it's like, this is what I want to be, and what I'm doing aligning with that. And if they both align, that fills you with love, with curiosity, with connection. when they aren't aligned, that's when you're getting judgy, you're pushing people away, you're isolating yourself.
Yes. And that's exactly what you said. The B thinking is making sure that what you're doing is aligning with who you are. And so that's such a great way to look at both sides to say, am I doing what is going to help me to become the person I want to be? That's the do thinking. But then the B thinking is what I'm doing fitting and aligning with who I am right now, so that I'm feeling good about myself and being who I want to be. So, I'm so grateful, Kyle. Thank you so much for being here with me. Is there anything else that you'd like to share before we go?
You're awesome.
Oh,
you, Lindy. Yes, you for sure. But everyone, all of your listeners, like, you are awesome and you are unique. You're also human. So all of us are the same and totally unique in their own ways. You have a story to share. And maybe that's not on a podcast. Maybe that's not on a stage. But there are people in your life that need to hear your story. And so whether it's writing that down in a journal or recording yourself doing that video, what are ways that you can share that story with people that you love? Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your grandma or your mom or your dad. Like, share that love. Like, take what you learned today and find ways to fly and ways that make you feel awe, so that together you can share that with somebody in a way that helps them recognize that they're loved and that we can all get through this together.
What a great message. Thanks so much, Kyle, for everything you shared today. I love what you said about sharing love, because that really is the best way to learn how to fly. And it's been fun watching you fly. So thanks again. For those that would like to connect with Kyle, you can find the link to his Instagram page in the description of the podcast. And as always, if you know someone who could use this message, I hope you'll share this podcast with them. I really do appreciate you being with us here today. And I hope you'll join us again next week as we continue to learn about these different ways of thinking and to really help you start flying. Again, thanks for listening. I'm Lindy Kirby, and I'll talk with you again next week on the Be Do Concept Podcast.